Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I think there's a, even among Christians who go to church, even among Christians who know why they go to church, there tends to be a somewhat negative view of church membership. It's held in some kind of suspicion, sometimes maybe even viewed as just going there, maybe the PPO, to pray, to pay, and to obey. Can we take that cliche and can we turn it around and make it something rather than derogatory, something actually positive about what it means to be a member of the church? Pastor Peter Specker joins us for part three of our series on congregational membership today, more than pray, pay, and obey. He's pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Peter, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
You talk about a very important distinction that really kind of underlies everything we're going to discuss today, and that the church is instituted by Christ not to be served, but to serve, just like Christ himself. Why is that such an important thing to bear in mind during our conversation today?
Well, because it changes how people view what they're called upon to do as church members or as Christians. In chapter 2, it talked about the purpose of the service, where Christ serves us. So we come to church to be served by Christ because he, the Son of Man, came to not to be served but to serve. But part of the purpose of that is to transform us as followers of Jesus, as those who pick up their cross and follow him, into this body of Christ that exists not to serve itself but to serve each other, to serve one another inside the church and outside the church. You know, Martin Luther called original sin self curved in on self. And as we encounter Christ, as we are served by Christ, the idea is to get that outward focus where we are not demanding what's coming to us, so to speak, but we are looking for how we can give ourselves away, that the gifts that God gave us, he's really giving to other people through us, is how we live the Christian life.
How should we rightly understand the injunction to, I think, the writer of the Hebrews in the New Testament says that we should not forsake gathering together as Christians? How should we rightly understand what it means to gather together as Christians?
Well, I think partly that just sort of refers to coming to church on Sunday. I mean, that at a very basic level, it means don't think of your faith or your Christian life as something that happens in isolation, but we gather together to receive the gifts of word and sacrament, but also because God brings us together in relationship with each other as a church family. Now, in one sense, you're brothers and sisters in Christ with all Christians all around the world, but in a more intimate sense, you are brothers and sisters with the fellow members of your congregation, the people that you actually gather together with in the same room on Sunday. And that becomes the immediate context then for how you laugh with those who laugh or mourn with those who mourn, how you bear one another's burdens. You can't pray specifically for every single person on the planet, except for in a very general, you know, sort of, please be with everybody, but you can pray for the members of your congregation. So the church family at the congregational level becomes kind of a microcosm of the church of the whole world. Without that, you don't really have an opportunity to live your faith in such a way that you are serving rather than demanding to be served, because all of the things involving service have an object, you know, a somebody else. When St. Paul talks about In Romans 12, he talks about all of the different gifts that God gives the body of Christ, whether it's teaching or exhorting or giving or whatever it is. You can't do any of those things to yourself. If you have the gift of exhortation, it's not to exhort yourself. If you have the gift of contributing or generosity, it's not to give things to yourself. You need an object. You need another person there to live out any of these gifts that God gives to the church.
Why join a church as opposed to just attend a church? What's the difference?
A lot of it has to do with the accountability and then what becomes optional and what becomes something that you have to make, you have to plow your way through the difficult times. In the book, I compare that to family life, where one of the reasons why you probably have a strong relationship with your siblings is because when you had a bad relationship with them, the relationship wasn't optional. You couldn't just say, well, fine, I'm not your sister anymore. I'm not your brother anymore. You had to make it through the tough times, and that makes the relationship that much stronger. So when you join and you've got, you know, a church member with a mutual pastor and a sense of accountability, you can't just say, well, I don't like you, forget it, I'm out of here. That sort of defies what the purpose of joining in the first place was. What that means is you get that sense of accountability, and a lot of this is a matter of sort of getting over the hump. You know, there's always the tough part at the beginning of a lot of these relationships or a spiritual growth that you never really get over that tough part until you've committed to it. In a family, you're committed to one another whether you want to be or not, and therefore you are helped over the tough parts. But if you just sort of stand in the doorway of the church and you kind of consider what's being said there and participate a little bit but don't actually join, then what happens is when you're confronted by the tough parts, you don't have the sense of obligation to make it through. Go find someplace else to stand in the doorway.
We're talking with Pastor Peter Speckard, part three of our series on congregational membership. When we come back, he's going to exploit that cliche, pray, pay, and obey.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues, Etc. book of the month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about church membership, part of our series, with Pastor Peter Speckard, and it's more than pray, pay, and obey. Pastor Speckard is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. This book is just $5.99 plus shipping and handling. It walks you through the basics, and sometimes we need to go back to the fundamentals, to the basics, what it means to be a member not only of the church, but of a local congregation where you receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation in His Word and His Sacraments. You can find out more about this book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Order one for yourself and for your pastor as well. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Pastor Speckard, let's talk about the cliche that you write about here, pray, pay, and obey, usually a very negative way of thinking about church membership, but you want to exploit that cliche, beginning with pray. Where would you begin?
Well, you're right that that cliche almost always is used as sort of a derogatory. I guess I've heard it most often spoken by Roman Catholics, but also members of other churches, where they're sort of dismissing the hierarchy or dismissing the organized religion aspect of things, as saying all they really want from you is to pray, pay, obey. It's a way of saying that you're being used by somebody who wants this out of you, and they're convincing you to join. You're kind of being a tool a little bit by joining, is how it comes across. And the reality is, if you look at that, okay, pray, pay, and obey, what are people actually talking about when they say that? In other words, how can you say something is derogatory about being expected to pray? Of course you're expected to pray if you're a Christian. And of course you need to be taught to pray, as the disciples say. You know, we say in the church service, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. So when you pray as a church member who has a church family, what that's saying is that you are, in an interdependent way with other people, accountable to one another. So whatever your congregation is, probably, if you get a worship bulletin or a folder or something when you come to church, more often than not, there's listed in there things that we're praying for this week. So if you went to church Sunday, you might have been praying for Puerto Rico or Texas and Florida still from the hurricanes, or you might have been praying for racial healing in our nation, or you might have been praying for other things on the news, but then also, Betty who's going in for chemotherapy, or, Mrs. Schmidt who's grieving the loss of her husband or something like that, members of your church family, and you are going to pray for them. You take that home with you. And you say, okay, these are people who are part of my family, and they're going through all of these difficult things. God has both invited and commanded us to pray for one another, so that's what I'm going to do as a Christian. And the flip side of that is the realization, and you know what? Other people are doing that for me. That I don't, even when I'm alone, I'm not facing the day alone, because I'm being lifted up in prayer by my church family, that even when you're not in the same room, you're still a family, and you are still bearing with one another and building one another up. There's really nothing that can possibly be bad or derogatory about that. Now, the other thing is that with the pray aspect of things is to be there for the other members of your family. So you can't skip out on church and just pray privately, because part of the things is we gather together to pray. Prayer is a big part of the worship service. There's the prayers of the church. And even if you don't take the bulletin home and you forget to pray for Betty or Mrs. Schmidt or Puerto Rico, you're going to do that in the church service as the body of Christ. You're going to pray for all of these things that God has commanded us to pray for. So when you skip church, in the book, I make the point, Woody Allen's old line about 80% of success is just showing up. When you show up as part of the service with the rest of your congregation, you are involved in that, not only that prayer, but that sharing of spiritual life with other people. So when you skip church, you're not just making a decision for yourself. If you're a member of the church, you're making a decision for everybody else. Everybody's presence in church, when we pray together as a body, matters to everybody else. So you can say, well, I don't feel like going today. I'm going to stay home. Well, you are robbing members of your church family of your presence, which is a gift that God wants them to have. You're cheating them out of something that they ought to have that God wants for them, which is your presence with them in church, your prayers together with theirs in the service.
So you're talking there about this really broadens one's, not just the topics, the people for whom they pray, but it gives the individual Christian confidence as well, because they are being prayed for by their fellow members.
Right. When we understand our membership as participation in the life of the body, that's a tremendous spiritual comfort. People have made this point, theologians have made this point about confessing the creed, that it's not just I believe, but it's we believe, and that when I'm having tough times, when I'm facing doubts, I'm still sustained by the life of the church of which I am a member. And it's not just my prayers, but it's the prayers of the body of Christ, that when I am otherwise engaged, the body of Christ is praying, that I'm always part of this organic whole that is participating in the life of Christ. It's not all up to me. My spiritual life is a shared thing. And that's tremendously comforting for people who, you know, a lot of people just think, well, I'm terrible at praying. I never know what to say. I don't know what to do. Well, it's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is praying there with you and for you and within you, but as part of a larger body, that the church is praying with you. The church is even providing you with the words. When we pray in church, a lot of times just the pastor is saying the words, but hopefully the whole congregation is praying those words.
The second phrase in the cliche is pay. What's the negative that usually refers to, and how would you recast that in positive terms?
Right. Well, this is, you know, depending on how you label it in your congregation, this is kind of what the stewardship committee is always going on about. You know, this is what you put in the offering plate. It's perceived by the cynic and the outsider as how people are being exploited by the church. So, you know, if you watch an episode of The Simpsons, there's Reverend Lovejoy counting all the money and saying cha-ching, you know, at the end of the service. The outsider looking in says, see, they just want your money. And it's a valid thing for the outsider to think because of how many hucksters there have been. I mean, this was 500 years ago. This was part of the problem in Luther's day, that it was very plausible to claim that the church is just out for your money, when in fact it kind of just was. And so people look at that and say, well, how is the church collecting my money? How is that a part of the Christian life? And they throw out the baby with the bathwater because they don't see the benefit of that collective action. So if you're not a member and you just stand in the doorway and you kind of, well, I like a lot of what they're doing here, you might contribute a little bit, but you don't feel like it's a mutual mission to be a part of this. And it's one of those humps that you never get over, you know, the idea of tithing or really committing to a life of giving, of serving rather than being served, unless you say, okay, I've got a sense of ownership here. So God gives us these opportunities to give. They look to the world like the church is getting. The church is taking money from people. And if you belong to a church where the pastor has his own private jet or lives in a mansion or, you know, has his own marketing company or something, you can say, all right, yeah, that's probably a huckster. That's probably somebody who's not in it preaching the gospel. But the typical church is not like that. What do you think the typical church does with all of that money? It's making church possible for all of the members. And it's usually sending it on to other churches in need, or in some cases, the third world or disaster relief. It's allowing for the training of future pastors. It's allowing for whatever it takes to be the Christian church is what that offering dollar is going for. But of course, if you listen to the cynic, somebody must be getting rich because of all that money that's being put in the plate. So what the book tries to do is turn around the idea of paying and look at it as a positive opportunity for somebody whose life is now focused outward instead of inward. Given that we know the world's take is going to be, well, obviously that's just a scam. So the first thing to get over that hump is to realize that sometimes, you know, as sinners, we are going to be influenced by that worldly take. And we're going to be very hesitant to have somebody talking about the money that's in our wallet. So in the book, we talk about itching ears syndrome. You know, that comes from St. Paul's letter to Timothy about how people are going to gather around themselves preachers who will just tickle their itching ears, telling them what they want to say. And given that money is such a private and personal topic, and people are always wary of being scammed, the minute the pastor starts talking about stewardship or money or the collection plate, people get their guard up. So the first thing to know is that the church can't avoid that topic. Jesus talks about that topic all the time. You know, throughout the Gospels, he's warning people about the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, there's those famous sort of King James phrases about filthy lucre or mammon that are corrupting and poisonous to the Christian life. If you're going to be a faithful Christian and you're going to be a part of the body, if it's a faithful church, it's going to touch on topics that irritate you or that challenge you. And if you belong to a church that where that never happens, then you might have to examine whether you've just found a preacher that tickles your itching ears, that tells you what you want to hear. The topic of money is usually the one that is an itching ears thing. So the first thing you have to do, realize when you join a church, is that yes, there's going to be some awkward, personal, difficult topics that the preacher has no choice but to address, because that's what the scriptures address, that's what our Lord addresses. But when you get over that hump, when you say, okay, I'm not just going to stand in the doorway and say, oh, I don't like the sound of that, I'm out of here, but you say, all right, I'm confronted with this reality, then you start to say, well, why would we be commanded to do that? What would be the advantage? And so then you look at the biblical example of offering God the first fruits that goes back, you know, at least to Abel, certainly Abraham. And typically that's, you're talking about tithing. I make the point in the book that there is no rule for the Christian life about tithing. It's not like there's a thou shalt tithe in the New Testament. It's simply that tithing is what we normally think of and is the example in the Bible of what offering the first fruits really means. But then how does that open up opportunities in the Christian life? It's a way to go by faith and not by sight, because most people don't think it's possible. Then they discover, you know, that it is. It's a way to express this generosity, this self-giving, being here to serve rather than be served, because we follow a Lord who comes to us not to be served but to serve us. And obviously, tithing, honoring God with the first fruits of what He has given us, is a way of expressing trust that He provides. It's a way of giving thanks, and it's a way of serving the neighbor.
Pastor Peter Speckert is our guest. It's part three of our series on congregational membership, more than pray, pay, and obey. We'll take up obey after the break.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about congregational membership, part three of our series with Pastor Peter Speckert, author of the book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters, dealing with the old cliche, pray, pay, and obey. Perhaps even more than pay, Pastor Speckert, is obey viewed in a negative light. How is that part of the cliche usually used?
Well, it's usually heard kind of the same way as people make fun of Christians for being sheep. This idea that you can't live your own life, you're not mature, you need somebody to tell you what to do, and you just obey me. And it comes across as very patronizing, condescending, and so people feel like they're being very enlightened, very mature when they say, well, I'm not like that, I think for myself. In reality, if you consider the truth of creation, that we have a creator, and that we are creatures, and that God is love and God speaks his word, hearing and obeying is the highest calling really that anything can possibly have. Obedience is the example given to us by Jesus Christ our Lord. He modeled obedience even unto death. It's really an important concept that is kind of at the heart of following Jesus. I mean, he says a servant is not above his master. If obedience was good enough for Jesus, we can't say that we're too good for obedience. And then there's also scriptural exhortations that talk about how you're supposed to obey those who are in your life to instruct you in the Word of God. But think about how we look at that in other terms. Nobody says that of their doctor. They say, hey, it's doctor's orders. Nobody says, well, you're an idiot for being obedient to your doctor. Because they just sort of assume that your doctor is there for your good, or I was advised by my financial counselor, or whatever it is. But for some reason, when we start talking about the spiritual overseer, we start to say, well, how come you don't just think for yourself? Now, again, the cynic, the worldly person looking from the outside, has a lot of fodder to work with, because Jesus warns us about lording it over other people. And anyone who has authority, you know, the old saying, power corrupts. There are a lot of instances of people who think that they are in charge kind of getting full of themselves about that and really enjoying ordering people around. And so you have to constantly be on guard against that, or against allowing that to happen in your congregation with those who are in charge. But here's where the real blessing comes, is if we assume that the Word of God is for us and not against us, which is at the heart of Christianity, that Christ is the Word who is for us, then what it says is not there just to humiliate us or to ruin us, but it's for our spiritual good. And so sometimes the pastor, when he's not lording it over you or just being bossy, is called upon by God to tell you in certain things, no, this is wrong and that is right. And usually it's the areas of your life that you are the most guarded and private and protective about that you are inclined to say that's none of anybody else's business. So the two that come up most often are obviously money, which we've talked about, and then also sexual morality, because that's such a private thing that people just kind of assume what I do with my body is none of anybody else's business. But if you're a member of a church and you are taught we are not our own, we were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body, you have to say, okay, it's not none of anybody else's business. And what God says about what I do with my body is for my good, but it's not necessarily in keeping with my natural inclinations. Therefore, God commands me to obey for a good reason, for things that are important. And the examples in the book include things like marriage. So often, pastors find out about members of the congregation getting a divorce, and he doesn't even find out that there was a problem in the marriage until after the papers have been filed. And that's so backward. The pastor was there as an under-shepherd of God to help with that situation long before it was a lost cause. But people were too guarded. They didn't want to let the pastor in on something personal and private, and it's to their lasting harm that they did that. So when the pastor is talking about those awkward things and money and then also private things, sexual morality, marriage, a lot of times the social issues, what people sort of dismiss as culture warrior stuff, the pastor has to talk about those, but when you look at it the right way, it's for everybody's good. It's for the good of the body. It's for the good of the individuals. It's that God's will can be done, which is what we're trying to accomplish as Christians, is to be conformed to the will of God. So one of the things we have to do is not to recast Christian life as something that doesn't involve obedience, because we know that that's a bad word in the world's eyes, is we have to recast what we think of when we think of the word obedience and see it as something that is difficult and noble and honorable, and in fact, what Jesus himself did. And if we want to pick up a cross and follow him, obedience is something that we embrace rather than reject or disparage.
Then with about 30 seconds, someone says, what you've described here, Pastor, well, quite frankly, doesn't sound very easy by way of joining a church and being a member. What's your response?
Well, it's not easy until you get over that hump. When you see people in a family life isn't easy, but it's also one of the best things there is. It's not easy on the world's terms, but Jesus also says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When we realize that we are building one another up, that we are not in it by ourselves, that it's not just all self-denial, but it's in the embracing of a larger sense of what it means to be the body of Christ. It might not sound easy and it might not look easy, but when you look back at it, you'll say, God's grace was carrying me through that, and what a blessing that was.
Pastor Peter Speckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Peter, thank you again.
Thank you.
Folks, the latest Issues, Etc. journal has an article that I have written called An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. It's basically a catalog of what passes for good preaching, but is often bad preaching. One of those categories is the gospel sermon. I got that term from Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn. A terrible mixture of both law and gospel that neither wounds nor heals, neither kills nor makes alive, neither accuses nor absolve. Just one of the examples of bad preaching that's listed in An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. You can read it absolutely free by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red subscription button. Click that, enter your email address, and we will send you every issue of the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson. We talked about Elijah and the prophets of Baal last time. Now we have Elijah at the very, well, it's not the end of his life. It's the very end of his prophetic ministry and the beginning of Elisha's, but it's not the end of Elijah's life. We'll talk about Elijah taking bodily into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2 after this.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
What do you believe? What do you say about what you believe? And why exactly does it matter? Learn more about the what and why of the Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in the Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, the Issues Etc. 300.